Now the message this morning is the cry of wisdom, the cry of wisdom. Now this cry is a cry of love. In fact, it is the cry of the love of the one true living God. And who is wisdom? Now wisdom here is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The cry of wisdom. I refer you to Proverbs 1:20-23. Let me read these verses for you again. But Proverbs 1:20-23. Let me read for you. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, meaning to say, wisdom cries outside. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Amen. The Lord bless us in the reading of his most holy and precious word. Every time we go into the city on the day when we do our street evangelism, we will see at the foot of the statue of Queen Victoria a man speaking through a loud hailer with a team of people assisting him. And he will be crying out the message of the gospel, the message of love, inviting people to come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and also warning them of their sins and warning them of their need for repentance, that if they do not repent, they perish. Now then we, from Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, would be carrying our tracts, and then we gather to pray, and then in a small way, with our little voices, we will go out to share the gospel with people. And whenever the opportunity arises, we would then talk to the people concerned, and then we try to share the gospel of truth with them. Now the picture of this man speaking through the loud hailer and the picture of ourselves going out to share the gospel of truth through the distribution of tracts and through our giving the gospel to people through our conversation actually reminds me of what is written here in the book of Proverbs. Yes, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. So it reminds me of what is written here, the word spoken by wisdom. Now the cry by wisdom is a cry of love. It is a cry of the love of God towards sinful men. It is a cry for people to repent from their sins and to turn to the one true living God. Now wisdom here is personified. Wisdom cries out. Now, who is this wisdom? As I said, this wisdom is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know? Now, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it is very clear that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1, 24. All right, let me read this verse to you. 1 Corinthians 1, 24. But unto them which are called, Paul was writing to the Christians in the church at Corinth. He said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. In other words, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. So in this verse, we read that Christ is indeed the wisdom of God. Now, where does wisdom cry? Now, the word of God in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, wisdom crieth without. In other words, this cry is universal. It is a cry to all sinful men throughout the ages. Now, this cry made by wisdom, as we said, is a cry of love. And this cry of love is not confined to heaven. It is not heard only in heaven, but this cry came down from heaven to earth. Now, in the Old Testament, we have our Lord coming down to the children of Israel to meet with them in the tabernacle, which was built by Moses, and later on in the temple of Jerusalem. God met with his people. He spoke to them from his mercy seat, first in the tabernacle and subsequently in the temple of Jerusalem. Yes, he spoke from his mercy seat to his people. And then when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, God led them by a pillar of cloud during the day and by a pillar of fire at night. And then in the New Testament, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom itself, coming down to this earth, yes, taking on the human flesh. And he came to this earth and became Emmanuel, which means God dwelling among men, or God with us. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, as we said, don't forget his wisdom. When he was on this earth, he did not just utter the cry of the love of God in the temple of Jerusalem. No, he did not just do that. Yes, he uttered the cry outside, even outside of the temple of Jerusalem. And he did literally what wisdom does here in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ preaching by the Sea of Galilee, preaching in the villages, preaching in the temple of Jerusalem, preaching outside the temple of Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. And then he ate with sinners. He ate with publicans, which caused the scribes and Pharisees to condemn him, because the scribes and Pharisees could not accept that their Messiah would be associating with immoral people like sinners and publicans. So you see the cry of love made by wisdom outside. Yes, this cry was made everywhere. Yes, where seeking out sinners, to call sinners to repentance. And so we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the word of God says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The cry of love was made outside. Yes, was made without. Now, this cry of love to seek out the lost was already made in the dawn of creation. Yes, in the Garden of Eden. It was not something that happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came, or it did not just happen when God came down and spoke to the people from the tabernacle, or spoke to the people from the mercy seat in the temple of Jerusalem. No, my dear friends, this cry of love seeking out the lost was already uttered in the early dawn of history. Now look what happened when our first parents sinned. Let me read this for you, all right? You don't have to turn to this, Genesis chapter 3, but listen very carefully. "And the eyes of them were opened," referring to Adam and Eve, our first parents, after they sinned. "Their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" My dear friends, this was a cry from the one true living God. It was not a cry of condemnation. It was not a cry of anger. But friends, it was a cry of love. "Where art thou, Adam? Where are you?" Yes, those words were words of love. They were words cried out by the one true living God, seeking out our first parents. For what purpose, my dear friends? For the purpose of saving them. And that was exactly what the one true living God did. Yes, he had some animals, an animal killed, or perhaps some animals killed. And of course, when the animals were killed, blood was shed. Yes, and God killed those animals and then clothed our first parents with the skins of the animals. And the blood that was shed was actually pointing to the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This blood was going to be shed by him in New Testament time, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanged on the cross of Calvary. Now, wisdom's cry of love continued throughout history. Yes. And it was always God's cry of love seeking out sinful men to save them. You see, God could have wiped out the entire human race during the time of the global flood, but he didn't. He sought out Noah and his family and saved that family so that we have the human race today. Yes, and then later on in history, God called this man by the name of Abraham. God called him and his descendants and called them to be his people. And God said, you will be my people and I will be your God. And God made this promise to Abraham. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In other words, God was making this promise to him that in you will come the Savior. In you will come the Messiah. The Messiah will come through your line, Abraham. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came as promised, the promised Messiah, who is Emmanuel, God with us. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ come for? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was what he did. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. So you see, this cry of love is universal. It is a cry outside, universal. It came down from heaven. It continued throughout history and will continue until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes again. Now, his love, or his cry of love, was loud and clear and true. And the love that was made through the cry is a love that is absolute. Yes, it is absolutely great, absolutely infinite. No, we didn't deserve that love, or we don't deserve that love. But out of his grace, he saves us. Yes, he showed his love to us. Now let's pause for a moment and think of this, how demonstrative this love was that was shown by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who uttered the cry of love. Consider this mother. Her son was condemned to death by a jury. But this son was one who hated everybody, including his mother. He hated his mother. The mother came to the judge and appealed to the judge to have mercy on her son. But the judge could do nothing. He said, why don't you leave him alone? There is nothing that can be done for him. You can't do anything for him. Besides, he doesn't love you. Mother said, I know he doesn't love me, but I love him. My dear friends, that love expressed by mother with sob and tears, my dear friends, I think that is hard to match. Yes, what cry of love can be louder and clearer and more true than that of this mother who was brokenhearted? But friends, the truth is, no cry of love, no matter how great, no matter how loud, no matter how clear, no matter how demonstrative by any mother on this love, including that mother that I've just mentioned, or in fact by anybody, my dear friends, can match the cry of love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom itself. His love was lifted up very, very clearly for the whole world to see on the cross of Calvary, not only by those people who lived at the time when he was crucified. Yeah, he was lifted up on the cross. His love was lifted up on the cross of Calvary for all to see throughout the ages, from that time even up to today. Yes, we look back on Calvary, we can see the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Yes, what greater love can there be that the Son of God should come to this earth to save sinful men, to die for sinful men, to die even for his enemies? My dear friends, would we die for our enemies? Some perhaps would die for other people, but they would die maybe for righteous people. But for the enemies, of course not. But friends, think of it. The Son of God died not only for his friends, but he died for his enemies, for you and for me who were his enemies. Yes, he died for those who hated him. He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when he ministered on this earth, his disciples, along with a group of people, heard his cry of love, and they responded to that cry of love, and they came to trust him as Lord and Savior. And then this Savior, then sent forth his Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of these disciples and other followers. Now, this cry of love did not stop after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. This cry of love continued to be uttered by his disciples, into whose hearts the Holy Spirit had been sent. So, moved by the Holy Spirit, they continued to utter this cry of love. And others heard them. They heard this cry of love uttered by the disciples, and they too came, they too responded, and they came and trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then God's mighty Holy Spirit was poured into their hearts. Yes, and this is exactly what the cry of wisdom says will happen to those who repent from their sins. You look at Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I will pour my spirit unto you. Those who hear the reproof and repent and come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, God says, I will pour down, wisdom says, I will pour forth unto you my spirit. Yes. Then this cry of love went forth. As we said, the cry of love is uttered outside. So this cry of love went forth from his disciples, first in the city of Jerusalem, then beyond Jerusalem, throughout all Judea, the capital of which was, of course, Jerusalem. And from Judea, the gospel, the cry of love, went northwards to the city of Samaria. And then from Samaria, throughout the whole world. Yes, the cry of love went out to the whole world. Through the great apostle Paul and other missionaries, the cry of love made by wisdom then went from the Judean region to Europe, and then from Europe into the whole world. And in the 19th century, this cry of love came to China. And our ancestors, our spiritual ancestors in China, then received this gospel, heard this cry of love, and responded to the cry of love. And they came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And through these spiritual ancestors of ours, this cry of love came to Singapore. Yes, our spiritual leaders in Singapore responded to this cry of love, and they came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then among those who attended the church in Singapore, there were those who heard their cry, this cry, and then they went overseas, me included. And so today the cry of love has come here to Sydney, to Australia. Yes, and so you are here hearing this cry of love, which came to us through this route. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only route. There are other routes that through which this gospel went forth from Europe. All right, so other church people in other churches have also heard this cry of love. But thank God this cry of love came to us through this China route, you might say. Now the Lord be praised. He gave us the grace to respond to this cry of love. I'm talking about those people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior already. For there was a day in our life when we heard this cry of love, and then we responded. We came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then the Holy Spirit came into us, gave us this new birth. Yes. So, we have the same Holy Spirit as those disciples had in the early church and all the gospel bearers throughout history. The same Spirit that entered into them has also entered into us. Then as we have experienced God's love poured into our hearts by God's mighty Holy Spirit, my dear friends, we must sense the Holy Spirit moving in us to want to share or to send forth this cry of love made by wisdom. Yes, we must sense it. If we have indeed received this love poured into our hearts by God's mighty Holy Spirit, then we must be moved to want to share this cry of love with other people. And this is something, my dear friends, I will urge you to do in a very concerted manner in the month of September. And hopefully, develop as a habit to give up the gospel, we will continue to give up the gospel even after we have gone through the month of September, in which we do our 30 and 30. Now, the question for all of us this morning is, have we been uttering this cry of love? Have we, those of us who have received this love of God poured into our hearts by God's mighty Holy Spirit, have we? But we may say, but my cry of love is so soft. Yes, too soft for anybody to hear. I can't do much. I can't speak much. I'm not a preacher. I'm not eloquent. I'm not fluent in speaking. So I don't think I can effectively utter this cry of love made by wisdom. Now, before you say that, I'd like to remind you of this unsung evangelist. I've mentioned him, spoken about him from this pulpit many times. Frank Jenner, all right? The name Frank Jenner. Many of us, I'm sure, would have heard about Frank Jenner already. Now, Frank Jenner was a Sydneysider who was mightily made use of the Lord to share the gospel with people. He lived through the Second World War, and during the time of the Second World War, he would walk the streets of Sydney, and even after the war, he would walk the streets of Sydney to share the gospel with people. As he would have given tracts to thousands of people, yes, during that time. Frank Jenner was a humble former sailor who was converted at the age of 24. He didn't have the gift of speaking. He couldn't preach. But one thing he had was the passion for souls. He had that. He did not have the gift of preaching, but he had the passion of souls. And here was one who keenly felt the love of God and his heart poured into his heart by God's mighty Holy Spirit, which you and I should be experiencing. We should have the Holy Spirit. We who have the Holy Spirit in us should be experiencing this love of God poured into our hearts by him. And he would walk the streets of Sydney declaring our cry, making this cry of love made by wisdom to people whom he met along the street. And then when he met people along the street, he would invariably ask these few questions. He would stop people and he would say this, and at the same time he would hand out a tract. May I ask you a question? If you die within the next 24 hours, where will you be spending eternity? In heaven or in hell? Now, he didn't think that those questions that he posed would be causing people to react or to be moved. But there were thousands who gave this testimony that those questions that he asked really shocked them out of their slumber. Yes, and many of them came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. To this man who could not preach, but who had great passion for souls and who could utter the cry of love by using just a few questions. Can we not do that, my dear friends? We can. Sure we can. Yes, so this opportunity is for us to make use of. In September, we are going to do street evangelism. Let us arm ourselves with tracts. We may not be able to say much for the Lord, but surely you can share your testimony with people in regards to how you responded to this cry of love made by wisdom. Now, what is the message of the cry of wisdom? What's the message? Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Turn ye at my reproof. In other words, repent. Repent. Repent from walking along the broad way that leads to hell and eternal destruction. Turn to the one true living God. Now, I remember this great storm that occurred some a few years ago. My wife and I were still living in this apartment that was facing Victoria Road. I still remember the storm was very, very heavy. It was a heavy storm. The rain didn't just come down vertically. The rain was actually moving sideways. All right. And the traffic was chaotic as people were honking away because there was a power outage and the traffic lights were not working. And people were actually quite angry and because, you know, they were all stuck in that storm. Thankfully, a big crew of volunteer emergency workers came, and then they started redirecting traffic. And not long after that, the order on the street was restored. But surely, if you were one of those who were caught in the traffic that day, you would be very, very glad that there were these emergency workers who came and directed traffic and had directed you not in the direction where greater chaos could have been, but they redirected you to in the direction where it would be safe for you to go to. Now, it would be very, very foolish of you that day if, let's say, the volunteer emergency worker were to tell you to turn around. But you are very insistent. You say, I want to go ahead, in spite of the fact that he tells you that a power line has fallen down on the road and it's dangerous to go in that direction. You are still very insistent. But if you are very, very insistent, you are really being very, very foolish. His word for you is, turn around. Turn around. And friends, these are the words of the cry of wisdom. Turn ye at my reproof. Therefore, my dear friends, in giving out the gospel, let us remember, if our cry is indeed the cry of love, people may not think so, but if it is really the cry of love, the essence of our message must be this. Repent from your sins. Repent if we are really very, very concerned about the salvation of the one we are giving the gospel to. Now you think about it, my dear friends, if you were directing traffic that day in that storm, if you were one of the volunteer emergency crew members, yes, and you knew that power lines had fallen ahead, and then you just, the motorists come to you and you go to the motorist and you're still smiling in a very nice way. You say, yeah, you know, be careful, you know, there's power lines have fallen up ahead. Yes, but it's all right. You want to go, you just go ahead. Would you do that? My dear friends, you would not. You would be very, very frantic in waving your arms and say, no, turn around. Yes, don't go that way. My dear friends, that's exactly what we must do when we are giving the gospel. Because the Lord has made it very, very clear to every one of us, all of us. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some people don't like this message when we talk about repentance. And years ago, there were people who didn't like the kinds of messages preached from this pulpit because the focus was on repentance, and they didn't like those messages. They say, why does this church have to talk about repentance all the time? We have to, my dear friends, because except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And some of these people didn't like our messages, and so they left the church. Now, all of us who profess to be believers, this is the question we too must answer. We must not take it for granted. Have we truly repented from our sins and turned to the one true living God for salvation? We say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe that he shed his precious blood for me. Yes, I do. But friends, the question that we also must ask is, have I truly repented from my sins? Now, would we know that we have repented from our sins? We would know. Yes, because if we have truly repented from our sins, we will be showing forth fruits of repentance. Yes, we will be hating evil. We love God and we will hate evil. We cannot be loving the same evil that we used to love before. If we continue to love the same evil that we loved before, it means that we have not repented. If we have truly repented, we must not be loving them anymore. We must be turning to the one true living God. Now next, to whom is this cry made? Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in the scorning and fools hate knowledge? First, the message is directed to the simple. Yes, how long, ye simple ones? Now the simple ones here do not refer to the simple-minded or the gullible. Yes, it refers to those who do not fear God. These are the simple ones. They don't fear God. They love simplicity, not the simple life that is easy for us to live. No, my dear friends, it is a life which loves foolishness. That is what is meant by simplicity here. Yes, people who live such kinds of lives love foolishness. They love to sin. There is no fear of God in them. And because if they really do fear God, they cannot be foolish, because the word of God says what? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We all know that. Yes. So if we truly fear God, yes, we cannot be foolish, we must be wise. Which means, my dear friends, we will always desire to do the will of God, to obey His word. Some will live like the rich fool, described for us in the book of Luke chapter 12. The Lord talks about this rich fool. Yes, his harvest were plenteous, and he looked at his barns. He said, my barns are too small. I want to pull them down. I'll build bigger barns to store my larger harvest. He said, and then when I become very, very rich, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to relax. I'm going to tell my soul, take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what what God said to this man? God said to this man, yes, tonight thy soul is required of thee. This man had made all his plans without God and his plans. Yes, he was greedy, and he didn't have God in his plan at all. And God said, tonight thy soul is required of thee. He thought that he was going to enjoy the fruit of his labor, but that was not the case. He never had the chance. What a fool he must have been. In his mind, he might have thought that he had gained the world, represented by what? His world was represented perhaps by the success and the prosperity of his farm. Now, even if he had literally gained the whole world, my dear friends, he would be a fool indeed if in the process of doing so, he lost his soul. Yes, he would be a fool. Now, you might not be rich like that rich fool described in the Word of God, but all the same, you would be a fool if you exclude God from your plan. Yes, you live your life as if there is no God. You live your life as if there is no eternity after life on this earth. You live your life without any fear of God at all. And you tell yourself that I am in charge of my own life. Yes, God is not in charge of my life. I am in charge of my life. Yes, I'm in charge of this little empire or little world that I have established. But of course, in their own eyes, this little world or little empires that they have established are small, but in reality, they are really, in their eyes, of course, they would appear to be very big, but in reality, they are small. Now, you want to be your own boss. You do not want God to be in charge of you. Now, that precisely is what sin is. You do not want God to be your God. You want yourself to be God, your own God. That is what sin is, my dear friends. Now then, there are those who live a life of licentiousness and drunkenness. They waste their lives away. They intoxicate themselves with drugs and with alcohol. They are fools, my dear friends, in the sight of the one true living God. But you say, but I'm not like them. I'm really a very decent fellow. I'm law-abiding. That's true, my dear friends, from the human standpoint. But the question for you would still be this. Who is in charge of your life? Who? Are you your own boss, or is God your boss? Yes. Now, if you live with yourself on the throne of your heart, you might not be a crook. You might not be a drug user. You might not be a covetous, a rich person. All the same, God looks at you and he says this to you. You are simple. You love simplicity. In other words, you love foolishness. Yes, you love sin. You love foolishness. You are already a fool. The message from the cry of wisdom, which is a cry of love, is this. Yes, turn ye at my reproof. Repent. Yes, receive the wisdom of God in your heart. And you will be very wise if you have received the wisdom of God into your heart, because you will be wise unto salvation. You'll be wise because you will have received salvation into your heart. Then they who love simplicity are indeed foolish in the sight of the one true living God. You know, there is that category of people who think that they're very smart, they're very, very wise. And they declare with all their power and might that there is no God. God doesn't exist. There is no eternity after life on this earth. And there is no judgment after life on this earth. Yes, my dear friends, is there any difference if they are so strong in making that kind of statement, if they are so strong in holding those kinds of beliefs? It doesn't make any difference, because God is still God. He exists. Yes, and there is such a thing as eternity after death, and there is such a thing as life after death. Yes, those things don't disappear. They are there forever. My dear friends, the truth is this, and God says it clearly in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is true. There's going to be a judgment. All those atheists who declare that God does not exist, my dear friends, are fools indeed, because definitely there is going to be a judgment. How do we know? God says so. That's good enough. Now, he's a fool who thinks God does not remember his foolishness. Yes, he's a fool who thinks that God does not remember his sin. God knows all our evil, my dear friends. He remembers them. He doesn't forget them. I'd like us to look at Ecclesiastes 11:9. Or maybe I should just read this for you. Just listen, all right? Listen carefully. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. You see everything in your own eyes, how you see it. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Yes, you want to go your own way? You want to enjoy? You want to go your own way? God says this, because of this, God will bring you into judgment someday. But they who would heed the cry of wisdom and turn at the reproof of God are very wise. They are wise because they would repent, and then they will receive salvation. And then on the day of judgment, you see, they are very, very wise, because on the day of judgment, God says, I will remember your sins no more. I will not hold your sins against you. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. All right, Hebrews 10, 16. Let me read this for you. Listen carefully, but take note of this verse. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I will not bring their sins into account. I will not bring them, yes, I will not use them and bring them against you on the day of judgment. No, I will not. I remember them no more. So you see how wise it is for people to take heed to the cry of love and respond to the cry of love and come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. People who turn at the reproof of the cry of love made by wisdom. How wise they are. Now the cry of wisdom is a cry of love. For whom? We said for the simple, but even for the scornful. You see how merciful God is. Even for the scornful, this cry is also for them. Look at verse 22 and verse 22 of Proverbs 1. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge? These are those who delight in scorning. They laugh at the saints. They laugh at believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They call saints the believers' names. They say they are foolish, they are hypocritical, they are bigoted, narrow-minded. They say people believe in Christ, you know why? Because they are weak. They need something to hold on to. They cannot stand up on their own. Yes, believing in Jesus Christ is like holding on to a crutch. That's what they say. But friends, the worst kind of scorners, and yet, you know, God is very merciful to such people. Think about it. But the worst kind of scorners or scoffers are the religious scoffers. Religious scoffers. They are those who wear a religious garb, and they go a religious garb, and they go around appearing to be very, very holy and very, very pious. They are church leaders, and they are theologians. But friends, they deny that the Bible is the Word of God. They deny the occurrence of the flood in ancient times. They say there was no such a thing as the global flood. There was no such a thing as a judgment by water in those days. You know what's the implication? The implication is this. If they didn't believe the judgment by water in ancient times, they are not going to believe that there is going to be a judgment by fire in the future, which means they do not believe that Jesus Christ is going to return. My dear friends, and these people are supposed to be theologians, they are supposed to be pastors, they are supposed to be preachers in churches. Yes? And these people will not want to hear the reproof of the cry of wisdom. You know why? Because they do not want to be exposed to their sins. Because if they were to listen to the reproof of the cry of wisdom, their sins will be exposed. And they do not want their sins to be exposed. And the Lord Jesus Christ says this of them. I read this for you in John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ in verses 19 and 20 says this. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved, lest his deeds should be exposed. So they do not want to come to the light. They will not take heed to the cry of wisdom, because they do not want their sins to be exposed. Now, look at church leaders today in Christendom. Are you able to identify a scoffer when you see one? Are you able to? I hope, my dear friends, you are. But friends, understand this truth. God is still very, very merciful to scoffers. That's why this message, the cry of love made by wisdom, is also addressed to them. But if the scoffers choose to continue to scoff, if they choose not to repent, not to take heed to the reproof made by wisdom, one day God will have to give them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, God would have given them up, given over to a reprobate mind. And even if they wanted to believe after God had given them over to a reprobate mind, they will be incapable of doing so. In other words, they will be lost forever. So, my dear friends, God is very kind, God is very gracious. But as far as these coffers are concerned, there's a limit. A time will come when God say, I have given you up. Now look at verses 20 and 21. We read and then we'll close. All right. Verses 20 and 21. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words. The cry of love made by wisdom has been going forth since the dawn of creation, since our first parents Adam and Eve fell. Remember the words of God to Adam, "Where art thou?" It was a cry of love. It went up ever since then, and it is a cry of the one true living God seeking sinful men to save them. The Lord then make his cry of love loud and clear to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh to come to this earth. And the cry of love was loudest, clearest, most demonstrative when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary for the whole world to see. And through the last 2,000 years, that cry of love made by wisdom was born by faithful men. And then in time, by the grace of God, this cry of love came to us, and we responded to that cry and we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when we did so, as the word of God says, wisdom says, I will pour my spirit into you. And God indeed poured his spirit into us, as he did to those disciples and to the bearers of the gospel in ages gone by. My dear friends, if we have experienced this love of God poured into our heart, what should we do, friends? We must surely experience the prompting of God's mighty Holy Spirit to want to also show forth or go forth with this cry of love, to tell people of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and shout out this cry for people to repent from their sins so that they may be saved. The message of the cry of love is this: reproof, turn ye at my reproof, repent from your sins. My dear friends, the question for all of us here this morning also is this: have we repented from our sins? We have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we profess. We believe that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. We believe that he shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. So we profess. But the question still remains: have we truly repented from our sins? And we know that we have repented from our sins by the fruits of repentance that we show. So, have we produced fruits of repentance? My dear friends, these are vital questions that we need to answer. I trust, my dear friends, this morning, if you have not responded to the cry of love made by wisdom yet, that you will respond to that cry and come to believe in him as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, your kindness, and your goodness. Teach your people, O Lord God, to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you, O Lord God, that the cry of love made by wisdom was something that we responded to in time past. We heard it, and by your mercies and by your grace, we responded, and we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, the result of which was God's mighty Holy Spirit came into us. And Lord, we manifest that we have indeed heard that cry and responded by our repentance. O Lord God, we pray for those who might not have responded yet, that they may respond this morning and that they will truly repent from their sins and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And those of us who have this experience, this love, help us, O Lord God, to be sensitive, to be to the prompting of God's mighty Holy Spirit, to be desirous of carrying this cry of love to other people. Enable us, O Lord God, to have passion for souls so that we may be willing to share the gospel of truth with others. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.